When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. I am Paul, and with me today are Kyle and producer Dave. We are so excited to be back to talk about episodes 4 and 5 of The Witcher. Little mid-season finale, crazy cliffhanger, and You bet your ass I'm pissed that I have to wait a month.
I'm pissed that this season's been so fucking good. That's what I'm pissed about.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. If you're here with us on the Witcher feed, welcome. But be sure to check out our main Bingetown TV feed because we put all of our shows out there. We have over 350 episodes of over 70 shows. So we are sure you will find something that you like. And be sure to check us out at BingetownTV.com. Or you can check us out on our Discord, where there's lots of theories and fan interactions going back and forth. We love it. It's a lot of fun. But back to episode 4 and 5. So, newbie, Kyle, how did your lack of geography affect episodes 4? Did it not really? Or you were able to still get most of the gist of it?
I guess you're just used to it at this point. Like, I wasn't... It's just kind of a constant state of somewhat general confusion. So it's almost like it's been assimilated into my watching experience from the get-go. So for me, it kind of just is what it is. I mean, I know who, like, the big players who work for the most part at this point. So I feel like I'm generally okay. Honestly, watching like the episodes twice as well, I feel like helps. Just kind of, you just hit, even at the second time, you don't pay attention as much. So you just like hit the high points much easier. So I think that's a little bit better for someone that is not familiar with the material at all. Probably watching twice makes things a lot easier for you. And honestly, that's probably every TV show. But
I'll tell you what, even as a book reader, it's hard for me to keep up. Like, I only know Fringilla is Nilfgaard. We know, obviously, Philippa is Redania because that's just the most recent information we've gotten. But like, Sabrina, no idea. You know, like, the list goes on with like all these mages that I'm just like, I could care less about your nation. I have no idea like what you're associated with. All I know is Fringilla is Nilfgaard, really. And that's it. Like, I already even forget what like Yen, like, what is Yen's thing? She's not even responsible for Vengeburg. Where's she at?
She's just rogue. I feel like it's pretty much, they've boiled it down somewhat cleanly into like Redania, Nilfgaard, the elves.
Yeah.
Are kind of like fat. And then obviously the Brotherhood is involved as well. And then like we're on our own a little bit with Ciri, Geralt, Yen, and Jaskier. So it feels like they've kind of gotten rid of a lot of the other small places and kingdoms, which has made it, I think, a little easier. It's kind of, we kind of have almost maybe 4 to 5 actual chess pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I asked that question because, you know, this opening scene where Yen is proposing the plan of the conclave to everyone, you know, all those mages represent a different kingdom. Yeah. I think, like Triss is really supposed to be.
Yeah, where's Triss? I forget.
I believe she's supposed to be with Foltest and Temeria, but like
she's just on novice duty.
Yeah, like she's just chilling in Aretuza now. So it's like, it's hard to keep up because they're constantly changing. But that being said, Yen and Tisei are basically trying to get the rest of the Brotherhood to get on the idea of the Conclave, saying, hey, unity over everything. I didn't mention this earlier, but we are going to be doing character buckets as well. So we're just going to stick with Yen and everything going on. I have this as my Aretuza character bucket. So after the Conclave, everybody, you know, gets on the wave. Vilgefortz's applause kind of helps everything going. Then Yen and Tisei are talking later. We see that Tisei is wearing that bracelet that Vilgefortz got her. She also talks about Philippa a little bit and how they used to be close, but not anymore, but you don't really know why. And then they kind of talk about, give them the invitation in person, because nothing like groveling to really sell that flattery home, you know? So that's her plan. We get an awkward moment with Triss when she walks in real quick. It's just like, hey, Geralt told me everything. like, thanks for all you did for Siri. And that's a lot worse in the books because they definitely bang a lot while they're at Kaer Morhen.
Definitely.
And yeah, this Geralt's a little bit of a gentleman, probably Henry Cavill's take. And it's just like, hey, let's just stick to Yen. Let's just get one love life going here.
Yeah, I feel like it didn't feel so awkward from Yen's perspective. Or maybe she's just graceful in the moment.
Has it been established that Triss has a crush on Geralt in the show? Like, was that a thing at some point in the show?
Yeah, she asked Geralt to like stay the night in her bed night in season one. And he was like,
nah. Said no. Honestly, this Geralt really knows how to work. Swing. Worth the game.
That's yeah, it was totally worth a swing.
I mean, in episode 5, we had women throwing themselves literally at Henry Cavill, Geralt. So Triss goes on to the library. She's Istrid down there. This is kind of talking about the novices going missing. And Istrid's like, my novices couldn't handle it.
Is there background here that I'm forgetting? They seemed quite buddy-buddy. Seemed like they almost had like a sexual romantic past.
No, definitely not that I know of, but I was catching that as well. You know, were just like flirty,
mage
stuff.
I think it's just I forget what his position was in season one when like Yennefer first met him. Like, he must have just been, he was probably also a student at some point.
Under Stregobor.
Yeah, under Stregobor, obviously. And like, he knew Yen, so obviously it doesn't surprise me that he would know Triss as well, and those relationships kind of just develop over time. No, but I was getting some sexual tension there between the two of them for sure. Hopefully he moves on from our girl Yen, because she's locked up, man. And I don't hate Istrid. Yeah, I don't hate Istrid either. So I think he deserves a good woman, and Triss is great too, obviously. So they'd be cool together.
Yeah, Triss is talking about how all of her novices going missing are half elvish. And Istrid's talking about the Book of Monoliths and how it's the key to travel between spheres. So they're starting to put a little bit of it together. Yen ends up talking with Vilgefortz, who said that the council will create a secure portal for you to get safely to Redania and back, putting that out there. And he also said, you know, you'll be camouflaged well if he is chasing you, the rogue mage. And Yen's like, how do you know it's a dude?
And then he pivots right to a very emotional topic. I clocked that immediately, and I was like, okay.
way to change the subject, man.
Yeah. We got you, motherfucker.
So you were just riding Vilgefortz this whole time, right? Like, you weren't
falling for anything? Well, episode one, it was either going to be Stregobor or Vilgefortz, and then after episodes 2 and 3, I was fully gung-ho Vilgefortz.
I feel like they didn't do a great job with the red herring of it being Stregobor. Like, they were just like, it's Stregobor. And it's like, that was a little too easy, you know?
Yeah, they kind of relied on us connecting so much with Geralt and Yen because they were so gung-ho Stregobor.
I think they heavily relied on that scene in episode one that we ourselves were discussing, like, because you had mentioned, like, was that Stregobor he was meeting? Yeah. I think me and Paul said no, but I also was looking on the internet and it just seems like it was well known that it was supposed to be Stregobor. So I think that clip, they were just riding the high of that clip and just trying to sell Stregobor really hard. And it didn't feel like a good sell to me, but we'll get into it with that the next episode.
And and just quick comment, I'll probably get on it later. Who's to say they're not in cahoots?
Yeah, that is also true. Cause we'll get there.
Just cause Yen and them only think that there's one, maybe there's not one.
Yeah. Cause we all watched episode 5, if they took that one scene out of the end of season 1 finale of Stregobor just turning and killing his own guy, the whole surprise, I feel like, would be a lot bigger.
Oh, you mean Vilgefortz. Vilgefortz.
Did I say Stregobor?
You said Stregobor, but you meant like the season 1 of when Vilgefortz. Yeah, I agree. I think that also...
Oh, yeah. I would just not... There would be no reason to suspect Vilgefortz for almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what the fuck was going on there? Like, that...
I think they were hoping the audience would forget like the number of years it's been since season 1 came out, and now it's like, it's still fresh in our brain. And if this guy's
never forget.
Yeah.
Vilgefortz is asking Yen if she's hiding anything, and she's like, hey man, I can't hide anything from Tisea. She knows me too well. I mean, that's the truth, because Tisea is the one hiding shit from Vilgefortz. I mean,
I think he truly loves Tisea.
Yeah, we'll see. From what I can see, I would say that as well. It does seem like he does really care about her. And it feels like, again, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, like in that conversation that he has with Geralt in the next episode, you know, he's relating how Geralt feels with Ciri to how he feels with Tisea. Like, he has something that he wants to protect. So it feels like what he thinks is going, like what he's doing is for the good of him and Tisea, but who knows for sure until we get more info.
We're going to jump to Temeria real quick because this is just basically going to set up Yen and then we'll follow her back to Eretusa. But this is the funeral procession for the queen of Temeria, Hedwig, who got beheaded.
Redania. Is it Temeria? Don't you mean Redania?
Redania. It is. Yeah, it is Redania.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
We get Applegat real quick. So we get his return. He has a really good line here that's just head of gold and ass of iron. That's what, you know, a messenger
neck of flesh.
Is. Yeah, neck of glass and paper. But that was right from the books, too. You know, Andrzej Pstalkowski, he will give you point of views from like a random character for like 4.5-6 pages. And, you know, it'll not really relevant to the story, but it's just like a nice perspective from outside. And Applegat was actually one. So he had this line in his thoughts that what he's told. And the fact that they brought it in, it's really cool. They didn't need to, but
yeah, that's good.
I really enjoyed it. Philippa and Dijkstra are talking and they're figuring out that all the communication with Rience goes through the woman without a voice. So they're like, who do we know there? They're kind of putting one and one together. And they're talking about planning to crash the conclave and pointing fingers at people. So that was their initial plan. And Dijkstra's talking about how, you know, the Northern Alliance, if this all happens, we will be so strong, stronger than ever.
They're kind of moving their army. Seems to be the goal of moving it to Eretusa. And then just an important line because Dijkstra asks her, like, you seem nervous, like, what's good? And she's like, you know, I know the intelligence is good. He's like, oh, so it's personal. And then they pretty much spell it out for you in episode 5. Again, didn't catch this the first time I watched. Second time I watched, it's personal because it's Tisea. She's warned Tisea about Vilgefortz in the past. Watching again, it's obvious in this moment, they know it's Vilgefortz who they're after.
Okay. Okay, Kyle.
Yeah.
It was a good pickup. I definitely didn't catch that. It helps me out because I was still kind of even questioning whether, like, how many people did know it was Vilgefortz, you know? Like, it felt like they
just Philippa and Dijkstra.
And Dijkstra. That's what it
was. Before Geralt and Yen actually finally make the connection after they got done banging each other all night.
Yeah, because the way they were talking, it definitely made it feel like maybe they didn't 100% know, but they had, like, the highest inclination of, you know, who it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, they were like, they went there with the knowledge, I feel like, that it was going to be him.
Dijkstra, the spy master, man.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Also, the fact that Geralt had post nut clarity to help him solve is hysterical. So we're at the funeral. Philippa with the fake tears, man. Absolutely crazy. She's selling the shit out of being sad about the queen dying. Vizimir's in the background. And he has an interesting line where he's like, even though you were barren, you were a mother to me in other ways. And I was like, is that in there as a joke? Or is that just like proving that he doesn't have kin? But anyway, Yen shows up. Vizimir's pissed when he sees that it's Yen because he fucked up the execution in season 2. But she does a really good job of groveling and totally just reverse psychology Vizimir into... Kings need more protection these days, like the Brotherhood. Maybe, you know, Philippa should just come along. And he's like, Philippa, you're going. Dijkstra and Radovid, you're also going. No exceptions. This is the crazy part because Yen is leaving Redania and gets back in the portal. And as she goes through it, she goes to somewhere completely unknown, Black Cliffs. And there's a fake Geralt there that tries to ambush her. And she's able to escape somehow before any real damage gets done. But like immediately, like if Yara didn't think the call was coming from inside the house, there is a traitor in Eretusa. Like this basically confirms it.
Yeah. Well, good on Yen for not actually walking off the cliff, because I feel like I definitely would have just kept going and just went right off that cliff. But I didn't buy the Geralt imposter, but I'm just curious to know, like, what was that thing that impersonated Geralt? You know, was it a monster? Was it supposed to be like an illusion? I really couldn't tell.
We don't know,
because she mentions later that she dispelled it away, but
turned that shit into butterflies. That was crazy.
Yeah, I guess it was an illusion. I mean, I'm not familiar enough with the magic system to know whether like an illusion can truly hurt you, but yeah, she definitely got hurt by it. Obviously,
high class magic. That's all we know, I guess.
Yeah. Spitting image. I mean, he looked just as handsome. So.
So she gets back. Triss is there to greet her with Sabrina. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Whatever. The whole point of the scene was that Triss has Stellacite on her hands from Yen falling on that island.
Yeah.
So Triss goes down to meet Istrid back in the Elvish tunnels. I don't know why they're meeting up in a place that she didn't know about. This seems like a little romantic rendezvous to me.
Isn't this not where Yen and him used to bang?
That's where Istrid brought Yen to bang. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. So
he's got a move. Fuck? He's got a move.
Yeah. It's like the park down the street from me. That's where all the ladies are.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So she tells him that Yen was attacked, but also brings up the idea of, you know, there was Stellacite on her. What are the chances that there's Stellacite on your book? So let's do a locator spell. And all they do is see a cabinet with a logo on it. And
was it obvious that it was supposed to be Stregobor's in that moment?
I think if you watched season one, it would have been more obvious. Because okay, I'm pretty sure that moth is like his symbol.
Okay, because it was a quick flash. Like, I think I might have even blinked when it showed and I didn't even get like a full picture. Like, I just saw it and I was like, that means nothing to me. And they didn't even say whose it was because they wanted to keep the, you know, I guess suspense up. But I was like, who, what, did that mean anything? So
was the spell working in the sense it was like, we're going to locate other Stellacite?
Whoever has the book had Stellacite on their fingers because they were the one that went to that island that had tried to kill Yen there and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So because they had Stellacite on their fingers, maybe it was on the book as well. So it was like that specific dust. I agree. It's a little wanky. I don't know how. And I guess it was like the closest one to them.
Yeah.
You know, so
why not? I mean, we don't know, I guess, how rare it is. So, I mean, I think it's easily explainable. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like hardcore foundations, you know, tested.
It was probably just like right around the corner from where they were too. So, I mean, it probably didn't take much to locate that.
That's all we got for Arethusa in episode 4. Jumping over to Ciri and Geralt. They're just coming off of reuniting. She was running away from the Wild Hunt, and she's talking about how they were physical, like they actually touched her. And Geralt says, you know, in Kaer Morhen, when you portaled us to the same sphere that the Wild Hunt inhabits, maybe you just left the door open on the way out, and now they're able to, you know, come in freely. Which, I don't know, that's interesting to me. I didn't know the Wild Hunt completely just inhabited another sphere. I thought they could. I don't know the extent of them. They're a big mystery.
Yeah,
so, yeah, they were kind of hard
show thing, right? Because the monoliths you said aren't even in the
books,
so it could be a new thing. I think that this scene caught my ear because he basically says to her, "Like, do you think that your training isn't going well because you're afraid of how powerful you can be?" Obviously, I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially saying that, like, if you accept yourself and, you know, realize you'll be able to realize the full potential of what you're capable of. You know, you'll be able to access your power whenever you want to, if you kind of stop, you know, a little bit running away from it. I think as a teenager, it would be difficult to just fully accept that you're basically a walking nuke. So it makes a lot of sense. But I just feel like that's like foreshadowed. Like, that's going to be the ending of the season. Like, it's going to be that occurring. And it would be somewhat poetic if it's like in a similar, like, obviously we're leading towards war a little bit. Yen's end of season one, maybe mirrored, paralleled a little bit with Ciri's end of season 3, I think would be interesting. That's just that when I heard him say that, especially the second time when I watched, I was like, okay, that feels like a, hey, here's what's going to happen at the end of this season type of line.
Totally is silver platter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just need Geralt to really kick you there and, you know, set you straight. Geralt's just a man. But anyway, they're going to Arethusa, and Ciri's kind of hesitant because she said some things to Yen that she regrets. They go to meet Yaskir at the harbor, and it's just so great whenever Ciri and Yaskir are together. It's just how's the lessons going? Secretly trying to teach Geralt how to smile the whole time is just amazing.
Yeah.
And
I love that he's got the cool uncle, you know, duties for him. I love their relationship so much. I feel like it's definitely, it feels a little bit more fleshed out already in the show than it has been in the books. It's just so nice to see them always together,
100%
happy.
So the ferryman won't cross because there's a monster in the water, but Geralt's like, hey, if we kill the monster, can we pass for free? So when they finally get on board, ferryman's talking about the Wild Hunt a little bit, he's saying that, you know, they lit up the sky above the Tower of Thanid. You know, they're an omen for war. Like, yeah, all these races.
You want to talk about foreshadowing?
Yeah. Literally.
Guy, yeah. This guy's laying out part two for us.
He also said they never rode among the ground, I believe, or they never rode amongst us or something like that.
Yeah. So that means something's like to paraphrase again, it was like something's off because they were amongst us when they're not supposed to be.
Crazy. And it's a shame Luke couldn't be on this episode again, because who walks on the ferry but Valdo Marx, the rival bard of Yaskir. But he has a whole entourage. He needs a whole group to sound good. Yaskir doesn't.
Yeah, but very true. That was my thought process as well. He's never going to be Yaskir because he can't do it solo. He needs others.
How funny was Yaskir's reaction to seeing him and getting half price? And he's like, half price. Wow. Are you kidding me? Like, wow.
Siri's reaction to it was great too.
Just love actually getting the screen time for Valdo Marx, because again, he was only referenced in the books. We never were graced with his actual presence. So it was cool seeing the back and forth between him and Yaskir.
So this was some sweet, sweet Witcher analysis from Ciri. You know, by the size and frequency of the ripples, my guess is it's an Eshna, you know, weak spot from above on the head. We can jump. And it's just like, you just loved studying Witcher, like to be a Witcher. You loved everything about it. Training, you loved it. And you go to magic and you hate it. It's probably because it's not nearly as easy when you don't have your heart in it. She retained that shit like a sponge. She knows so much. And it's great because it's a little bit similar to the games in the sense that, you know, you are hired to see what happens. You walk up to a crime scene and you're like, all right, what is this? Claw marks. By the size of the claw marks, it rules out this, this, and this monster. And then you find something else and it's like, oh, this footprint is, you know, way too big. It doesn't look like it. It has too many toes. And that's basically what she's doing right here. She's just eliminating what it could be one by one. And I just love whenever Ciri and Geralt are together doing some witchering.
Yeah, Ciri absolutely crushed the scene. I completely agree with you, Paul. I think her being a Witcher just fits so well. And I think she just does it so much better than, you know, how she performs at doing magic. But God, this is what she needed. I mean, we had seen a little bit with the fight against whatever that, you know, scent sniffing monster was earlier, but she got the finishing blow here. Was this her first official monster kill?
On screen, maybe, because she was kind of used as bait last season. She was just like, yeah, stand on this hill while
this has got to be the first official one. And she did most of the work, too, I got to say. I mean, you're right. I guess Geralt took the tail, but she was doing, I think she definitely was fighting it more often than Geralt was, I would say. It felt like she was one on one with it more, it felt like. And she was holding her own.
Half the time, she didn't have a sword.
Yeah, but she was pirouetting and whatnot. Her signature.
Geralt had to throw his sword to her.
Yeah.
Because he got stuck in the tail.
That felt like a great moment, too, that she gets to hold the master's sword.
She comments on it afterwards, too, which was nice. But I thought we've made comments about the CGI's looked a little bad this season at times, but I thought that for the most part, the Eshna looked really good. The scene where its tail came off, I thought all that looked like very, very good.
I guess it's just horse riding. They really just don't do well.
The green screen's in the back of things.
Yeah, I thought the Eshna looked really good, too. Yeah. It's terrifying.
With this scene, of my issue sometimes is the Valdo stuff, it's like funny and everything. It just feels like, I don't know, it feels somewhat incongruent. Because I feel like this series, like with all the monsters and stuff, it should just be darker.
No.
There's like a lot of comedy sprinkled into like every episode.
Yeah. I thought they were all right, but they didn't really necessarily bother me. But at the same time, it's weird to jump from this joking scene directly into oh my God, this is serious all of a sudden.
And it's not necessarily even a problem. It's just something that I noticed as someone who has no idea the source material. I guess I have my own interpretation of what the source material is. So that impacted my expectations of what the series would be like. And I guess I just notice it now every time. Not that it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just something that I think about.
Pretty much humor throughout the books was literally the style of humor that Geralt had in episode 5 at the Conclave. Like just dry remarks, no actual laughing, just like a little like backhanded compliment type shit.
Yeah, and I guess, and that probably wouldn't go as. I mean, you could make a TV show where it's just that, but I can see why they would want to try to, you know, spice up the, you know, the comedy aspect and try to fit in some more things.
Could be Netflix is doing, because I feel like when we were, would me, Luke, and Paul would talk about the books while we were reading them, like comedy wasn't ever brought up with that, like for us, maybe like a couple scenes, but like it wasn't known to be funny. Whereas here, they're kind of definitely pushing it a little bit more, I would say, for sure.
There was, in the books, there was a lot less comedy and a lot more raping. Unfortunately.
Woo.
So definitely darker, right, if that's what you're looking for, Kyle.
He definitely portrayed the darkness of the world.
Okay. So we just swapped laughs for some unsavory sexual assault. So yeah. I'm okay with that switch. I will now look at any level of comedy with a little bit of a more positive lens.
There you go.
Perfect.
That's the way I'll think about it.
Yeah, he did not sugarcoat shit. I'll say that. So a few other things here. You know, Geralt had a good line before the Eshin attacked. It was like, if you want to be a queen, be a queen. Like, stop thinking about how you should do it. You know, should I rule with magic? Should I rule with the steel? Like, how should I? And he's just like, dude, just be a queen. I think you're a pretty decent one already. The Valdo and Yaskier interactions, that was, I was just kind of laughing. The setup for, you know, oh, I was invited by Sabrina, and Yaskier was like, oh, like, well, I have a task from Yennefer Vengeberg. Like, do you know her? She was a savior of Sodden. Probably not. She's a bigger deal than yours. And he's just constantly trying to one up him. And the troop, when he was singing, they did have a line where the third guy that was singing was sharp. He couldn't hit the notes right. And then afterwards, they're talking about his head injury, and they're like, hey, you were on key. So the head injury from the Ashen actually made the third dude a better singer.
I thought one of them was going to die.
A little upset they didn't.
It seemed like a ripe opportunity to kill someone.
That first guy who got grabbed, the one who was off key, easily could have fucking died.
Did he not look super familiar?
No, his face was on the screen for not long enough for me to recognize him.
He just looked like someone so hard, and I just couldn't. I tried to look him up in the cast and crew, and I failed, and hope maybe someone listening will be able to reach out in some way, Twitter or something, and tell me.
Discord.
It's going to upset. I'm going to keep looking for sure, but it's just something about his face looks so fucking familiar to me. All right, I'm sorry to derail that.
No, you're good. Siri had a line later. I prefer the balance of your sword after that Eshna fight. I was like, that's cool. It's a little foreshadowing, maybe getting a cooler weapon.
The little sword did look funny in Geralt's hand when he like,
oh yeah,
picks it up. Just like it very clearly looked like a toy sword in his hand.
So they're going to find Yen. Geralt actually tells Ciri what he saw in the castle. You know, all the crazy monsters and the girl who survived, who believes she's you. They've implanted your memories into their head, and they're using them as test subjects. And Ciri's like, and Geralt's telling Ciri this as like a warning. Hey, there's people out here looking for you. And Ciri's first reaction is, we got to save these chicks that are being stolen and abducted. So I just love Ciri's like turnaround of actually, why is this happening to me? And like season one, two, I'm a beast and I want to help people.
A great point. You've really seen the growth of Ciri here. And again, she just continues. I think Freya Allen is also doing just a very good job of portraying Ciri. And it's just great seeing her become so much more mature as a character.
I loved this scene, if I'm honest. This next one coming up, they finally meet up with Yen. Yaskier ends up having the task of babysitting Ciri. And when he brings them off to the side, they're like imitating the conversations that they're having. Yaskier's again.
That feels like type of comedy that doesn't feel incredibly like incongruent with the story. Like that works, endears us to the characters, I guess, is
brings their bonds closer together.
Yeah, I feel like that. This was funny. I like, and I really enjoyed this. It didn't feel like it was like not necessarily out of place, but like just give me personally a weird feeling.
Especially when Ciri hits us with the Geralt voice, when her voice, she's like, yeah, she goes like real deep and low. It's so funny. I loved it.
It was good.
No, they killed it, definitely. And this was kind of from the books too. They had not exactly at this point, but Geralt and Yen meet up after a long time, and then they yell. And they're yelling at each other, but then they're kissing by the end and hugging each other and embracing and
bubba bubba banging by the end.
Pretty much, yeah. So we get Ciri and Yaskir in her little hut that she's got some yen protection spell around. She's taken all of his coin. And I don't know if Yaskir was cheating or letting Ciri win, or if he's just an idiot and dropped his cards. But when he stands up and it pans out, you can see a bunch of cards leaning up against his chair that Ciri can't see. So I'm like, is he letting Ciri win and being a good like uncle and like taking all this shit?
Yeah, I mean, it feels very unbecoming of a bard, someone who spends a lot of time in taverns and dark places, to not be like really good at cards. And
but Ciri's also smart.
No card tricks. Yeah, but she's she's a class. She's like a kid though. She's like smart in like a certain sense. And she probably thinks she's smarter than she is.
He had this line where he's like, my two orins, which orins currency. So he was like, my 2 cents. So Ciri goes to bed and Yaskir hears some shit outside, goes to see what it is, like the nice bodyguard that he is, but he ends up banging the person instead. And it was Radovid. And I honestly can't tell if Radovid's being sincere. I hope he is, because they're really nice together. Like, it's such a weird dynamic between the two, because they're such different people, but then they get around each other and then they completely change. Radovid said he knocked on the door, didn't go well, he chickened out, he escaped from his entourage or his protection, so you know he didn't have to worry about any danger. Sings Yaskir song to him on the lute, like there's not a better way to turn Yaskir on, and says like, the only good thing about this whole mess was meeting you. You bet your ass Yaskir couldn't hold back anymore.
I hope that it's I feel like I hope that he's not so sincere. Like, that's just more
to spice, just spice up the show a little bit more.
Or maybe it's like he is sincere, but like he's gonna be put in a position essentially to choose between Yaskir and Redania, and like that type of level spicy is kind of what I want out of it.
Yeah, I mean, they've only had like a couple interactions, you know. I feel like this interaction between Radovid and Yaskir is definitely leading to something that's not going to end well for one of them. It can't.
Well, there's going to be some level of difficult decision to make.
I genuinely do hope they end, like, it works out for them. Like, I feel like they are really good to each other, but I agree with Paul a little bit, where Radovid does feel a little, maybe it's his awkwardness that I'm mistaking for bad intentions, but it doesn't feel completely real just yet, I guess. But I was definitely happy for both of them to get that spicy makeout session in.
Well, again, because it's that thing what I mentioned last episode of, like, the show seems hell-bent on trying to sell us on the idea that he is, like, a super calculator and, like, puts on this facade.
Yeah, I guess that's the other thing, too.
Of not being totally with it. And then, like, but at the same time, he hasn't been incredibly successful in actuality of doing things. So it's kind of like, where does that needle fall? And I think this relationship with Yaskir, wherever it goes, I think that's going to tell us where the needle actually falls.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Because like, then we're also, if we're talking about relationships too, if you're talking about, like, we've brought it up already to say in Vilgefortz's relationship, like, are all these relationships, like, are they all meant to be, you know, happy and like actual, or are some of them getting, you know, used, you know? So it's just, I don't think every one of these relationships that's been good will end up good. Someone's definitely getting hurt.
I don't really remember Radovid in the books. I do know him in the games. And if that trajectory goes anything like the games, that would be really interesting. But obviously, the show is its own thing, so it can go anywhere. I do like Yaskir and Radovid together. Their dynamics is great. But Yaskir can't settle down. Like, I hope they don't start dating or something like that. I wouldn't want that.
He's a peacock, bro. You gotta let him fly. He's not.
Yes.
He can't be tied down to one singular man or person.
Exactly. So Yen is telling Geralt all about her attack. They're in her bed chamber, ooh la la, and they break it down to, you know, whoever backing Rience is here at Aretuza is the inside guy who uses illusions, hates Yen, and has a history of experimenting on young women, Stregobor. So that is, they have their eyes set on Stregobor. And he is an evil person, so it's not a horrible conclusion to jump to.
knowing what they know in this moment, yeah, I would agree with them for sure. I would have been on team Stregobor.
Yeah, and it's telling Geralt, hey, just play along. Let all this unfold at the Conclave. Cyril will be safe at the cabin. You know, I have you in the flesh, so he can't hurt us. And I'm like, honestly, yeah, between Geralt and Yen, like the strongest Witcher and, you know, one of the top mages up there, it's fucking, I would feel safe as hell. But we get shots of everybody, and we see Stregobor in between every single one of these shots. So they're really shoving him down our throat here. But we see Dijkstra and Philippa. We see Triss and Istrid. We see Tessay and Vilgefortz. And then we see Geralt and Yen. They all ask, are you sure about this? Are you sure about this? And they all say different things. It's kind of cool. I enjoyed it. Geralt looking fancy as hell in that. I love it. That looks straight out of the games. It's phenomenal costume design. He's pissed that he has to dress up, which is just so on Geralt.
It's funny that you say you liked it, because it just does not suit him at all.
Like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't.
He came out wearing it. I was like, ugh, this does not look good on him.
But it looks directly from the games. Like, oh, yeah. It's pretty solid. And the games, just their colors are crazy. Like, the way they're dressed and shit, it's just wild. But
definitely looked awkward.
You know, Lilac and Gooseberries, you know, we got that again. Yen has just got all the stops going. I thought it was like really good, because this was the last scene. And I was like, what a really good final scene in the penultimate to really set up the mid-season finale. Mid-season penultimate, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, all the good stuff really happens in episode 5, so we'll save that until we get there. Just a few other things we got this episode. We got Fringilla. She's live and partying. Nothing but partying, actually, except and turning down dudes that want to bang her. And then she hears about boats going missing and wants to find out more about it.
I have no idea where that's going. Like, what boats is she referring to? Do we know?
I know. Yes. Book readers know. But
maybe I'll have to go back and think on it. But like, to me, that meant nothing. I don't know what her plan is at all. Kyle, any thoughts on where she's going to end up, you think?
No, it was nice. I'm kind of glad it was a scene like that and not like some super serious scene. It's just tough. There's just so many things going on. It's just, we'll talk about it more at the end of what I think about that idea, but it was perfectly fine with me. The boats obviously is, I didn't think in the moment I was going to be able to know what it was, so I just kind of let that comment wash over me.
Yeah, you never will. That's just impossible. So we have Cahir as well. He's back in Nilfgaard. He's having dreams of Ciri. The Emperor comes in and gives him his next mission. We don't know. It seems like he says, like, will not be easy to take Francesca out or something along those lines. And I was like, is your target Francesca? Are you trying to kill her? But Emir says, you know, once you do this, we will have everything that we want. We don't know exactly what it is because they never show us. But Cahir goes to Francesca and the elves later. He shows up with offerings, provisions, all this supplies. And he's basically just asking the elves to cooperate with them, which I kind of thought they were already. Like, I know Gallatin was really pro Nilfgaard, so I was a little confused with this. But I guess Francesca's point is, we both want Ciri and we want it for different reasons. And Cahir is saying, well, what if we can both have what we want from Ciri? So he hands over the mission that Emir gave him after Francesca is really on the fence. But as soon as she reads it, she's just like, hell yeah, for the white flame. Like, I'm all in. So you don't know what it is. Do you have any guesses? Because it seems almost impossible to guess.
No, I mean, my only guess would be like, that wasn't actually the piece of paper that Emir gave Keir.
I feel you.
That would be,
I was thinking
only,
that too.
That's the only thing I'm willing, I think, to plant a flag on. Is that was not actually what his mission was.
I think that was definitely, I took it as that was definitely the piece of paper that Emir gave him.
Could be. I have no idea. And they definitely didn't even touch on it in episode 5. So we're going to have to wait a little bit. But
yeah, I just don't know why Emir in any way would want Francesca to actually get what she wants.
I mean, he's definitely using her for something. I don't know what it is yet either. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, the White Flame is just telling Francesca, like, we'll use Ciri's power to get you a new home, while at the same time, it'll just establish my legitimacy on the throne.
Yeah, I mean, like, at some level, they kill Gallatin because it's like, we don't need the elves fighting each other.
Yeah, there's reasons to all this.
We want the elves on our side for some reason, but it's like,
what
how
is
long
that
do they actually need them on their side for?
It's got to do something with that, like the blood that Ciri has, you know, like something important with the elves.
Unless Emir is like a, I don't even want to say a fake good guy, but like actually.
Yeah, ends up actually like, being a good guy.
Yeah. It's like Bikku Mamu, where he just wants a kingdom where all the races can fucking live together in harmony. Yeah. Even if it's just by absolute fucking force.
Yeah, I mean, again, is that morally, is that right? Is that wrong? Who knows?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Gout would say there is no right and wrong. Oh.
Yes, yeah, true.
Richard, yeah. There is no lesser evil. And the last person we get real quickly, we get Applegat getting got. Hell yeah. I want to say that again. We got Applegat getting got. He's reiterating the line he's supposed to give. Reinforcements are required at Aretusa at first dawn. And after three times of saying that, gets shot in the throat.
I think it's interesting that that message will not get where it needs to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of who would have benefit from that message not getting there. I mean, it's got to either be Nilfgaard or Vilgefortz, right?
I mean, if I feel like the Conclave is not like a secret thing, so it wouldn't be crazy that Nilfgaard, and I guess now by extension the elves, know about it.
Yeah.
Shout out to, and which won't be the first time I shout out our friend Marrow in the Discord, but she kind of mentioned that that it was probably the elves and Nilfgaard. At the moment, honestly, he got shot, and I just was... The only thing I was thinking of, like, oh, serious thing came true. I wasn't even, this is dumb, but not even thinking about who did it. So,
like, I'm trying to think,
I agree with that, though.
I guess one of the things, now I'm kind of trying to piece this all together, is like, one thing that I struggle with The Witcher so much is like, where they, like, people leave, like, end relationships with one another. Like, how is Francesca's relationship with the rest of the mages? Like, I completely forget. Like, would she be down to fuck them all over? Like, there's just so many things that I feel like...
I guess some of them are half-elf, though.
I just feel like I'm always forgetting why people have issues with one another. Like, to say in Filippo, like, I completely forgot, like, what their beef is, like, why they hate each other. Was it because of Sodden Hill? Like, I don't really remember. Well,
you didn't know. It was a mystery, and still is.
Oh, really. I guess. Okay. There's a lot of important characters in a lot of different nations, and it's hard to keep up with these relationships sometimes and how people feel about one another.
So, to put into perspective what exactly the book readers were dealing with in season two when Francesca got introduced, Francesca gets introduced in the books here at the Conclave. Like, yeah. she is one of the mages. She's like still an elven mage, but she is like the most beautiful elf. And she gets introduced here at like a bunch of other characters. So,
like, Sabrina gets introduced here for the first time.
Maybe not. Maybe Sabrina was right. But it's just, so everything going on with her is a complete, absolute mystery. No idea. But anything else on episode 4? We had all those characters that we touched on at the end there. Don't get touched in episode 5. So Kahir, Fringilla, you know, well, Applegat's dead, so he probably won't get touched on. But all right, jumping in to episode 5, and just going to say right now, this episode was an absolute bitch to take notes on. So we are not going to go exactly scene by scene. We're going to go through like the whole ball, but we're probably not going to repeat scenes. Like, we're probably just going to have the full conversation going.
Good.
Because it was just holy fuck all over the place. Because we start off like they're in Yen's bedroom about to bang, which is just, I wish they showed more, but they didn't. But it's okay. I respect your boundaries. But then they jump back into walking through the doors for the first time again, and just mages everywhere, just staring at you. Yeah. Everybody's gossiping. Everybody's judging. I loved it. It was
a good way to tell the story, I thought. I mean, because it's basically like we get Yen's version of events, and then we get Geralt's version of events, and the two of them together gives us the full idea of what actually happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was a interesting creative decision to do this. It honestly just felt like it made the episode longer to me by showing everything again. Yeah, that they could have just done it
and
in
the
one
episode
pull.
Was short because it was only 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, I still enjoyed it. I just feel like whoever did this episode is a big How I Met Your Mother fan, because
yeah, wow,
they have the Burning Beekeeper episode, and I mean, it's exactly the same concept as you have audio that is a time marker for certain events, and you got Valdo Marx playing, you got the dance going. I mean, and it worked. It was good. It wasn't incredibly hard to follow, but at the same time, it was just interesting that they chose to do it that way.
I'm going to be honest. When they were replaying, I think for the first time they replayed a scene, I literally had to like hover my mouse over like the episode because I was like, did I just rewatch this or am I fucking crazy? So I had to make sure. Going back and looking at it, yes, I think it was a really good creative decision. But at first I was like, am I fucking crazy? God, I'm blanking on the TV show that basically blew our minds. That one episode, we were all just on edibles, just completely.
Westworld.
Yeah, it was basically
season
that one
two, episode four.
Yeah, it was that Westworld episode again, but for here. And I'm just like, I got to make sure that I'm not crazy.
Yeah, those gummies kicked our fucking ass. You had me questioning if I was a robot. I was like, oh my God, this scene keeps happening. What is going on?
You would never know if you were a robot, man.
Still a thing. Yeah. I guess, technically.
So. Still something.
Still fucks with my head all the time.
Yeah. All right. So some of the mages we got, I'm not going to rattle off their entire names, but we got Sabrina and Marty. They're the sleuths, the, you know, show cleavage as much as possible, throw yourselves at them type of mages. We got Rita and Kira Metz. Rita is the headmistress of Aretusa, I think. I don't know if she took over completely for Taseya.
Okay, that was a question I was going to ask. I was shocked at how high level a position that was.
Yeah, she kind of...
I feel like we just got introduced to last episode.
Yeah, we did.
In the last recording, I think it was episode 3.
Yeah. I mean, fair. Ideally, they would have been introduced earlier. I think like Yen kind of has some interactions with them, obviously, because she knows them.
Like, I mean, her name is Margarita. I keep saying Margarita because that's how it is in the books, I'm pretty sure. But they call her Rita here.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm pretty sure she was more of a relevant role when, you know, Yennefer first comes to Aretusa rather than it just being kind of solely Taseya.
Okay. So it would have been more of like a season one character, technically.
Yeah. But it still wouldn't show have. It would still be like a very not so often reoccurrence of her, but we would have definitely already been introduced to her at this point.
And like I said before, Kira Metz is a character in the video games, not in the books, but people love her. So they're just including her for the fan service. And I honestly like her too. And then we also get this guy, Gerhardt, and he is the oldest living sorcerer. I don't know if he's going to be super important. He was just like a really cool character that I'm glad they included, but hasn't really got a whole lot of screen time and or lines at all.
This feels like a perfect opportunity, I feel like, to throw in as many book references and characters that they could.
They did a lot.
I think that's more of what this was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
build on the lore and, you know, just establish some other cool characters. Like, it was definitely cool. I would agree. It's like, getting to know that, like, you know, Gerhardt, seeing him there, just oldest living mage. I think he was actually mentioned in the books. Now that I'm kind of like thinking about it, yeah, okay. His name did look familiar for a second.
He gets introduced with Francesca and like everybody else and all that other fun stuff. So Yen is telling Geralt, like, hey, when the ball ends, the real conclave begins. This is just a front that everybody puts up at first. Like, she talks about like all these rules, stop eating, shoving your face. Like, when someone approaches you to talk, you must accept, like, you can't walk away. It's all about how you look to everybody, how your manners are and your etiquette and everything.
This was really well pulled from the books, at least.
Definitely. Definitely. Especially with Sabrina with her tatas popping out.
Yeah, they definitely made that a
true source.
Yeah. Giving Geralt that image of, you want to have a taste, and like licking her finger, but like actually he's just kissing her hand in real life.
Yeah.
Wild. And Geralt grabs that hand, tosses it, doesn't kiss it after he gets that. He's like, Yen look amazing?
Yeah, loyalty, man. We love it.
And Sabrina's like, you know what's annoying is he's not even lying. He genuinely thinks that. And I'm like, my boy, Geralt.
It's nice that Sabrina backed him up too there.
And it was literally just trying to get a rise out of Yen. Like, all the mages like fucking with Yen a little bit because it's like the savior side. And oh my God.
Even though if he had said yes there, she totally wouldn't have about it. She would have been about it too.
Oh, 100%.
No one can resist Geralt. No one.
I love this little scene. You know, Geralt talks to Philippa for a second. We don't exactly get it here. Maybe I'll get to it. I don't remember.
You might, I was going to say, if you want to cover it now, you might as well. Just whatever comes to mind, comes to mind.
Geralt was saying to Philippa, you know, nice try with the Ashgear. I'm a little bit harder to fool than that. And she's like, well, there's an aphrodisiac in that wine, and the caviar is an illusion, just because some mages like to giggle at people that like reach for it or something like that is what I was getting.
Totally just, from the books again. Yeah. Exact same thing from the books.
Did he already know that though?
I don't think he did. He said a line earlier in the episode.
About the wine, right?
I don't know if it's here.
Unless
I don't
that's
think
a
does.
Complete Mandela effect, because I could have sworn the second time I watched, it was like he like was purposely putting on the act that he was like shocked by the wine, like to show Philippa, because it felt very tongue in cheek that he says, like, I'm not fooled that easily. And then it was like, well, you got fooled by this. Well, you got fooled by this
yeah.
in her eyes. But in reality, he didn't actually get fooled by it. He just wants her to think that he was caught off balance.
I have no idea.
It could easily be the Mandela effect and me just being like, oh, obviously Geralt's the man and is doing this stuff on purpose.
Wouldn't put it past him, honestly.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Not exactly sure. Yeah, this is wild when she's like, what Sabrina showed you as child play? Like, come with me. Would you like to experience one orgasm or more? And he was like, nah, I'm good, dude. Like, I rented these. I can't destroy these pants.
She was testing him. He passed. Yeah.
And then she also drops the Codringer and Fen line. You know, how they met their fiery demise. And, you know, Geralt is trying to play it cool, but Philippa probably knew that he didn't know about it because she just was there, watched them die. And she's like, oh, I thought you would have known by now after you've been tracking him. And Geralt's like, oh, you mean Rience? Like, do you think his master's here tonight? And she's like, I'm not going to tell you. I can't tell everybody because I'm not as loose-lipped as you. But Kyle, as you were saying earlier, I'm totally on board that Philippa and Dijkstra knew exactly everything that was going on tonight, but they just didn't want to tell everybody.
Yeah.
So this is when Dijkstra walks up and he's like, oh, I'm so glad to have a non-magical brother here. Like, I need to talk to you man to man. And Carol's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're making us look bad right now. And he's saying, you know, I'd be wary of staying neutral. You should pick a side, and Redania is your only hope of keeping the line cup safe. Geralt is just watching Yen the whole time, not really paying attention because he's in love and it's adorable. And he's saying, all right, dude, just give it to me in layman's term. Remember, I'm a quote unquote commoner. So Deesha says, give us the girl before it's too late. Geralt goes, no, excuse me, and walks away. I fucking love it.
Spoken brick.
All right, so then we got Geralt and Vilgefortz talking. This is interesting.
I like this scene a lot. I don't know why. This scene was very interesting to me.
I think it's just Vilgefortz is a captivating character to me. I think he's a great actor, first of all, the guy who plays him, who at this moment I don't know who his name is. And obviously,
Mahesh Jadu. I've totally butchered that name, but it's Mahesh.
Okay. Well, shout out Mahesh. And him, obviously him and Henry together as Vilgefortz and Geralt is just like must-see TV. It feels like they're just both two really great characters in this show.
Totally. And when we got the first scene of the ball and it didn't really show them talk, it just showed Vilgefortz say that one line. I was pissed because I didn't think they had an interaction. But on the rewatch, you actually see that Geralt went up onto the balcony. He goes to this painting. You know, what is it called? The first landing or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like the founder of the Brotherhood. His name's like Becker. And he just loves that painting. It's his favorite scene in all of Aretuza. And he's trying to like find common ground with Geralt. He's like, we're both outcasts. Like, oh, we're so similar. And Geralt's like, dude, I don't think we are similar in any way.
Yeah, don't break your fucking neck trying to find a commonality between us, basically.
Yeah. Vilgefortz is like, you know, like you, I cannot fully define myself as one thing. I'm not man, I'm not mage. And Geralt's like, dude, shut the fuck up. I'm a mutant, not by choice. Like, this just fucking happened to me, all right? And it really didn't come to a conclusion. It was just more of, I see that the sense of family has changed you as it changed me. And I see you with Yen and Ciri. And like, that has been the biggest impact in your life. And it was interesting because it's like, why is he saying that? And then he goes on to say, the longer Yen stays at Aretuna, Aretuza, the stronger the brotherhood. Aretuna.
Aretuna.
And he's trying to get Geralt just to like, hey, do you have any interest in sorcery? Do you want to join the Brotherhood? You know, the longer Yen stays here, the stronger they are. You stay with her, even stronger. And Geralt's like, dude, get the fuck out of here. And he actually has the incredible line. He says, it's incredible how my neutrality outrages everyone. And it's 100% true because everybody's coming up. Pick my side, pick my side. And he's like, dude, main path. Neutral path. That's the only thing I do.
It definitely felt like a low key recruitment speech. Obviously, it gets high key at the end when he's like, you know, you should come to Aretuza. But all the thing of like creating common ground, explaining, I felt like Vilgefortz was explaining himself so much. It felt like a preemptive almost for like when that other shoe drops. Cause I don't think Vilgefortz is like under any false pretense that it's never going to get out that he's up to something. Thing I feel like whole point is eventually to get Ciri. So he's, I don't know, maybe it so felt like great. A kind of like a villain origin speech that he was trying to like explain why he's doing what he's doing a little bit, planting a seed, if you will.
I don't know if you guys caught this or if Paul, if you had mentioned it, but in the painting, that is actually the place where Yennefer was. That not the place that Yennefer was teleported through the portal?
Yeah, they put that together at the end, Yen and Geralt.
That was a cool shout out there. So like I think like this moment obviously is going to have a significance for Vilgefortz more than what he's already kind of laid out on just like very vaguely. I hope we get more into, I mean we will, obviously this is all going to have to tie into his purpose, why he's doing the things that he's doing. So I'm just excited to see that moment and how this specific painting ties into all of what he's planning.
And this again is it's just reinforcing for me personally that he actually cares about Desaya.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I don't think he thinks that he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he obviously has some level of belief and passion and reasoning behind doing what he's doing. Obviously, we know that, you know, it's extended into experimenting with little girls. So we're not pro that in any way. So something's going to have to happen to him. But it's going to be interesting, I think, to see finally when we get his plan revealed.
And thinking of it too, I feel so bad for Tisaya too, because I think one of these conversations that Yen has, it's with Yen and Vilgefortz when she's talking about how, you know, Tisaya has really changed a lot because of you. She's opened up, she's more trusting, and it's like, she's not going to be feeling that way much longer, I don't think. So she's definitely going to go back to being a shell. So we'll see. But Vilgefortz is just, at the end of the day, I think he's going to be very interesting to follow. He's definitely one of the more entertaining characters for sure.
Yeah, but he's also kind of a dick sometimes because they see Yen and Istra talking and he's like, ah, your first love never leaves you, right? And Geralt looks at him like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Yeah. And just like, excuse me. And he just walks away. So with that Istrid and Yen convo, this is Istra telling Yen about the Book of Monoliths, you know, an artifact that the book is here and Stregobor has it. This is all after he saw his locator spell with Triss, so they know that Stregobor has it and someone needs to get in his office before he uses it. You know, Stregobor stole the book. It endangers Ciri's. We need to nail him tonight. So the melange starts. Is that what it's called? The spice melange.
Yeah,
the South spice, Park fans.
Yeah, spice melange.
So it's a non-optional dance, especially for Geralt. And you're just constantly passing partners. All the partners are saying something else. It's weird because Yen is like using it as like every partner is like a business / marketing move. Like every time she goes to a different partner, she's got a scheme going. Meanwhile, Geralt's just trying to fend off like women left and right, just throwing themselves at him.
Well, this is like the third time we've seen this dance, right? I feel like, was it not in series like Dream at the end of season two? They do it and at season one, when it actually happens for her and her like oldest memory, she like has to hop out and she has to do the dance. I think I just remember the move where like they put their hands up, like the forearms touch and they walk in that circle. I feel like I remember that in the show before.
I totally agree. It looks familiar, but Geralt has the line, like, what is the melange? But then he goes and does it. and yeah. he nails every move. And is that just him with your perception skills, like seeing everybody else do something and he does it like a microsecond?
Sharingan.
Pretty much. Yeah, he's just copying everybody else. No, Kyle, I'm totally there with you. A lot of that shit looks familiar. But Geralt like dances with Lydia for a second. That was cool. And he's like, you've been enjoying your night. And she just doesn't answer. And he's like, okay.
Great to know.
Yeah, it was just honestly really funny. We got a few scenes in here that like skipped around everywhere. So I might miss one and come back to it later. Geralt and Istrid, hysterical when they had a dance together for a second. Kira Metz said she was planned on getting pregnant tonight. Directly to Yen's face, who she knows can't get pregnant. So fucking that was just a bitch move.
Yeah, biatch move for sure.
Triss and Geralt, they're talking about Ciri. You know, she's safe. She's here. What are you doing tonight? Blah, blah, blah. Get out of here, Triss. I'm with Yen. I can't bang you tonight. Blah, blah, blah. You know, just normal Geralt stuff. And then when he finally gets back to Yen, he does like a deep dip. Like all showman style, and he was tired of everybody else touching Yen, so he got his kiss. It was nice, but
claim what was his.
As we know, this is what we were thinking the first time, but as we get on, they're actually, you know, making a plan, and Geralt is telling Yen that, you know, I'm gonna cause a distraction, and truce will be my signal that, you know, distraction's over. So what has happened, Istrid? Well, Geralt, if you see it in like the third time after the dance ends, Geralt like kind of slightly nods over and Istrid picks up on it and comes up. He's like, hey, I've been meaning to talk to you. Follow along. This fake fight, you know, it was great. Totally knew it was fake. I mean, maybe not everybody did because, you know, Geralt doesn't lose his cool like that, but maybe not everybody knew that.
He also doesn't get thrown around by another you know, humanish figure that easily.
You think Istrid could land a punch on Geralt
and send him flying 5 feet? Yeah, fucking right.
Get out of here. So honestly, props to Istrid for going along with it. I mean, I love his character.
I've been liking Istrid. The fact that he was just like, Geralt said it in one sentence, he didn't even think about it, he was just kind of went along with it right away, is just he's for the boys. So I'm in for Istrid.
Sure, it was nice for him to get the opportunity to land a couple blows.
Yeah. He was probably dying for those too.
Taking my girl. Yeah. Probably hurt himself more though.
True.
Like, oh, that hurt me more.
Very true.
And then this dude, Artod. I can't say his name.
Artorius?
No, Artod. The drunk dude falls.
Oh, the drunk dude. Yeah. Artod. Yeah. A-R-T-A-U-D.
Chill with Yen for some reason. Yen just gives him like a signal and he's like all for it. I don't know.
Yeah. What was he part of the plan? Like that was such a like an obvious fake fall over. It felt like I couldn't tell if they had included him or just
Yen did. Yen said, you know, I'll tell Artard to the symbol. So whenever you say truce, I'll fall. And then I don't know. I just was like, why is he going along with everything? Like, is he like a really good friend? I don't know.
I guess so.
So we're constantly flash forwarding and rewinding, but when we flash forward, we are in Yen's quarters with no clothes on. We're in the bed. Not a whole lot to say here, just happy to see them happy. And then we're going to jump back, and Tisaya has a toast with Vilgefortz. They're both saying, you know, toast to peace amongst mages and all this stuff. Actually shouts out Yen, you know, thank you, Yen, Yennefer of Angerberg, for putting all this together. Flashback again. Now they're banging by the fireplace. It's like, oh my God, they're all over the place. And now they're kind of talking about, hey, like, did we actually do it? Did we pull it off? So now is when we're kind of realizing that everything was kind of a scheme. So let's see if I missed anything else. Real quick, we got Stregobor and Geralt. Like having an interaction, Geralt almost kills him. He goes up. Stregobor calls him Butcher right away. I was like, you fucking dick. You know, he hates that name.
I love that season one callback. Yeah. And then he even name drops Renfri.
Yep.
I thought that was really cool.
He was like, I'm not the one that stabbed her in the heart. You did. And it's like, dude, fuck you.
It was a good reminder of like Stregobor is, you know, also a dick too and not a great person, and that him and Geralt have history as well. I thought that was a nice drop there.
He literally said, you know, I was just trying to root out the deadly creatures that threatened us all, like you included. Like he knew that Renfri was a threat, so he just, you know, kills her. And Geralt's like, dude, that's not the way to do it. So this is when the distraction happens again with Istrid and Geralt. Yen goes to the office, opens up the cabinet. The moth goes to alert Stregobor. So Yen only gets a little bit through the contents. She sees there's a list of names with half elvish students, and just she touches a necklace and a magnifying glass of all objects that Stregobor has ripped out of half elvish students' hands. So she can touch that and actually see the memory, the last memory of it. So Stregobor really isn't looking good right now. He's really fucking taking all these half-breed stuff. So Stregobor comes in. They have a little bit back and forth. Geralt comes in. It's like, all right, Stregobor, you should be a little worried. They kind of go back and forth. He says, I'm not worried about that Sintren brat. You know, he just keeps being elven racist. Like, he's talking about the elves and how he wants to get rid of them.
Yeah. But
then everybody else comes in. Triss, Tisea, Vilgefortz, it's Istrid. They're like, oh, when we saw you three weren't here, we knew exactly what was happening. So this is where Yen finally breaks it down, tells everybody. Stregobor is like, dude, what are you talking about? I have no idea what's in there. He pulls out a book, and Stregobor honestly looked confused for a second. I don't know if he actually knew that that was in there, if it was planted in there, but he's like, dude, this is just fucking the elvish blood in Yen just being tricky. Like, this is just what elvish people do.
Fucker.
Did it feel like he was trying to cover up the book, or did... Do you think he actually just... Do you think it was planted there? I couldn't tell. I couldn't get a good enough gauge. What do you think, Kyle? Any thoughts?
It's so suspicious that, like, he has all of the lists and everything in there.
Yeah, like, I don't know if Vilgefortz planted it there, but he also didn't, like, react as I thought he would if it, like, was planted there, you know? Like, he would have been, I feel like, freaking out way more if it was planted there. It felt like he kind of was like...
You could explain almost every angle where it's like, is he too prideful? Or is it that he's also involved? And you know, it's kind of the Vilgefortz felt obvious, but it's actually the two of them. I mean, because they kind of are like shown in public to be fairly adversarial in some ways. So, like, you know, it would be shocking. I think it would be a bigger twist, especially because, like, they give us the mid-season finale, and it's like, okay, they told us that it's Vilgefortz now. So, like, there's no real mystery heading into the end of the season.
Well, I mean, and then we also saw Dijkstra, like, at the end too, holding a knife to Geralt. So that's another kind of like mid-season loose end that we still need to get picked up when we get back. Is like, is Dijkstra in on it too? You know, like, because he was clear, like, Geralt left his room and Dijkstra had clearly been waiting for him, knowing that Geralt was going to make a move. So, I mean, we'll see with the next episode, but it's just that they're presenting enough mystery to the point where it's like, you know, we have a lot more content to get through this season.
I want to go on the train and say that Stregobor had that list of half-elven novices in his locker because he was just stealing shit from them, and he hated them and wanted to keep an eye on them. But I feel like when Istrid went in to get the book, he was like, what are you going in to get? And then he pops out the book, and Stregobor was like, he had a weird face, so... The book might have been planted as well.
He's just a useful idiot in the sense that, like, Vilgefortz knows he's a horrible half-elven racist. So it's like, okay, he'll have some dirty shit in there. I'm sure that'll make it a lot easier for it to cover me up.
So Istrid did kind of say, you know, this book has information from before the conjunction. You can literally teleport and between spheres, and you could literally banish people. So I don't know what they do. If they, like, put him in a cell, they probably put him in that cell where that Cahir was in, that, like, you can't use magic in.
Probably just killed him real quick, and that's the last we've ever seen of him.
Of Stregobor, Artorias was even like, dude, buddy, even I can't back you right here. But maybe he was just saying that, and Artorias will actually help him out. But we go... Oh, we also see that, I'm sorry, Tisea is holding on to the book, and that she also drops her bracelet that Yen picks up. I don't know how she drops it. Did they show it, or did they just show her picking it up?
I didn't catch it.
The plot required it.
Yeah, exactly. So they go back and do the toast. Everybody's all happy. We did it. Geralt drops the "I love you."
That was wild.
I love this, honestly, because Yen, like, Geralt, we've talked about it before. Geralt knows that Yen can read his thoughts, so half the time he thinks something, knowing that Yen will hear it. So he doesn't actually have to verbalize it. So he's constantly saying, like, thinking "I love you" and stuff like that before. So when he finally says "I love you" here, and she's like, "That's the first time you ever said it out loud." He's like, really? But he's constantly thought it, but he's never actually said it. She's like, you can kiss me now in front of everybody.
It felt so weird or I guess it sounded so weird coming off of his lips. It just
totally,
it sounded so wild when he said it.
I'm with you. It was an awkward. I mean, Geralt is not a lover, I guess, too much. So he's never used that word. Yeah, I was gonna say he's probably never said I love you ever in his life. And so it was great seeing it, but it was definitely a little cringe because it's just like our big man is just
because love is cringe.
Yeah.
Love is cringe.
Stay single, never get married. So if we flash forward again, now they're in the tub naked. It's like they covered every square inch naked in that room. And then Yen's just a little concerned about our conversation with Philippa. So we're going to jump back. And constantly it's saying all is not as it seems is Valdo Marx's troop just constantly singing that. And whenever we jump back, that's the marker. But it's also telling us, dude, not is all as it seems. We've told it to you like 7 times. So Philippa and Yen are talking, you know, Philippa says something like, oh, I'll get Ciri like in due time. I'm not worried about it right now. They see Lydia go by. They have that conversation about the high illusion of how her jaw and how Philippa reveals that she is heartsick and that she would blindly follow her lover to death if he asked her. We don't know who it is, though. And all of a sudden, Philippa asks, what did Taseya tell you, Yen, about how we fell apart? And she's saying, oh, you grew apart. But Philippa is actually trying to say what happened is Philippa tried to convince Taseya not to side with Vilgefortz and go to the Battle of Sodden. That was the beginning of their fallout. Was she was trying to say, hey, you're not just fighting for the Brotherhood. You're just following this man that you like. Maybe you don't know it, but you are in love with him and are blinded by that and going. So Philippa wanted the continent to fight by itself, do all that, and then they would just be there on the outskirts. She's saying, you know, too many mages were lost in that fight. There was that fight of Sodden was not good. Even though you constantly say, like, you won, that was a huge, huge hit to the Brotherhood. To continue, Philippa's saying, you know, we break rules. We aren't afraid of power. Like, if you and Taseya stick to this plan, you'll be no better than Lydia, stuck to a poison that kills you slowly. She doesn't get it immediately, but she finally puts it together. She can only communicate telepathically. And all of a sudden, Geralt has that epiphany. Oh, the one with the funny voice. Do you have to say his bracelet? Oh, I saw Lydia wearing the same stones as these. Something's up. And all of a sudden, comes together. We do flash back to Vilgefortz and Geralt's convo, but we already covered that. But the last thing Vilgefortz says is like, you know, the battle to come. And Yen's like, battle to come? He's talking about peace. What is he talking about? A battle and all this shit. So then they're like, Vilgefortz, Lydia's in love with him. He's the one that does. Oh my God, it's Vilgefortz. The earrings on the bracelet were only found in the mines of West Redania where Geralt went. Jesus Christ.
Where Geralt went to find Taryn, basically.
Yes, just like put it together. Finally, they immediately try to alleviate the situation. They immediately go into action. Yen is trying to alert to say Geralt goes outside, immediately hears screaming, doesn't know what's going on, tries to get the path clear, but before he gets out too far, Dijkstra pulls a knife on him and says, you should have chosen a side, Witcher.
What are the sides, Kyle? What are the sides?
This just made me very pro Redania this episode. I am a big Philippa fan. I was already a big Dijkstra fan. I don't think Dijkstra is working with Vilgefortz. I think in Dijkstra's mind, he's anti-Vilgefortz. Like in his mind, it's Vilgefortz and Nilfgaard are one and the same because they're working together. So, like, I don't think that he's putting a knife to Geralt to, like, protect Vilgefortz. I think that they're, like, in the process of, like, the Redanian army taking over Aretuza. Like, they're springing that trap that they went there to set.
But now that you're finding yourself more pro-Redania, you had also mentioned earlier that you didn't really fully kind of trust Radovid yet. Does that feel like that's kind of squashed now a little bit? Or do you still think they're maybe you're saying like you like them because they're entertaining, maybe not in the sense that they're like they have intentions.
They're clearly like still a third faction to our squad.
Right.
I mean, I really like Philippa. I think she had a really good episode. I loved the whole conversation that her and Yin had together. I feel like she was definitely right about Sadden. I mean, Yen's like, we won, but she's like, I mean, did you actually win? It kind of, you just almost prolonged the inevitable and actually probably made things worse because of how many mages died and everything. I just feel like Philippa has like the clearest actual idea of what's going on.
She got that knowledge from Dijkstra. Yeah. She knows exactly what's going on.
So I like that a lot. I don't think that, like, obviously, like I said, that they're technically that third faction, so they have to be anti-Geralt in the sense that, like, they're there, I think, to A, I think, expose Vilgefortz, and B, take Ciri because they want Ciri too. So obviously the second part makes them, you know, anti-squad, but the first part doesn't make them anti-squad.
Yeah, so we got some wild storylines going on that wasn't even touched in episode 5. Like, we still got Cahir and Francesca. Like, they're on their mission. They don't know what that is. What else?
And Jill with the boats.
Yeah, we got Fringy, as we like to call him. We didn't get Yaskier.
Yeah, I mean, the fact Ciri, that Ciri's not even in the midseason finale.
Crazy. She's just in the hut the whole time in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough because it's a midseason finale. So naturally, they obviously some level had a plan for this to be like this, for us to sit on this episode for a while. But it just kind of feels weird that she's not in the episode at all, like the last episode before this break. And I feel like it's just like there's 3 episodes left of Henry Cavill as Geralt. And it seems
always
like
gotta ruin my mood with that.
It seems like, I mean, like, we're gonna have, like, I guess it's gonna be like a rescue attempt. Like, we need to have some spotlight on the fact that Vilgefortz is our villain. I mean, Stregobor is, you know, wrongly imprisoned. There's probably going to be an impending war. I mean, we have 3 episodes.
Dude, I'm kind of thinking, is Henry Cavill's Geralt gonna die at the end of the season?
I mean, is it going to be like Liam Hemsworth's Geralt from a different sphere?
I mean, yeah, I was just going to say they've already mentioned.
Oh, they're going to fucking multiverses. Like,
yeah, that's what I was literally just going to say, because they've already mentioned that whatever the fuck portals, you know, have access to like the different spheres or whatever the shit they were talking about. So I'm just like, in my mind, I'm playing it out as Geralt dies. Ciri's like kind of rushing through one of these portals and like comes across Liam Hemsworth, who's like, shit, like, this is my task now, like, I'm gonna be Donda, which then that's when I'm out. That's when I'm totally out of this show, you know.
Like, well, I don't classic, like, what is it, who is it in Dragon Ball in Super with Dark Goku, who comes back and it's like, oh wait, well, it's Trunks, obviously, and Trunks, and he meets the kid version of his lover whose name I forget, and it's like, oh well, now I gotta protect her in this timeline.
Right, yeah, the black-haired girl, I forgot her name.
I forgot what her name is, too. Yeah.
She's with Garlic or whatever his name is.
That would be, I mean...
But I don't know.
I just feel like that's the lowest hanging fruit way for them to do it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they've been bringing up different types of portals that can travel to different spheres, I just feel like that's a different word for multiverse, kind of, and it's going to be such a shame, man. I've been enjoying these episodes, though. They have been really good.
I said this in the Discord as I was talking. Me and Meryl were going back and forth, and just like, I would be much more hopeful about the content if feels like there's so many things left in this story and there's only 3 episodes left of like Henry as Geralt. And it just is like, I mean, those 3 episodes could be insane. They could be fucking complete roller coaster start to finish and all that kind of stuff. It just, I'm just so, like I said, I don't know if it was the end of last episode, podcast episode, or the beginning of, or at the end of rather, of the first one. And I even said it's a dumb thing to say. I'm just so interested to see how it ends. It's just like, where is the point where it gets left off at?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, it's just like, it feels like the last thing for Henry's Geralt is going to just be rescuing Ciri again.
Yeah. I think
it's just going to be like a rescue attempt, and then she'll do something like I said earlier, where she realizes her power, I guess. And Meryl even said too, like, would be much better if like Ciri didn't need to be saved. Like, we know she has enough power. So hopefully that's kind of how it ends. And like, maybe what is it like, a, you know, we don't need Geralt anymore. And that feels like, okay, then why do we, what's the point of the show anymore kind of deal. So this has left me in a weird place.
They've put themselves in this weird spot. Well, there's no one to point fingers at. It just sounds like this whole thing just unfolded, unfortunately. But
yeah,
pulling my fingers at you, Lauren, showrunner.
Yeah, that's maybe one finger we could point to. But again, I'm still I'll ride this high with with Henry Cavill as Geralt until, you know, the very end of the season. I really do think, like, I've been very much looking forward to this Aretuza moment. This is the moment that I've been hyping up. This was one of my favorite moments in the book, was the political discourse that everything just turns to shit here at Aretuza. We get the coup here at the end, which we haven't fully gotten into yet, but it's just the start of, like, just some good, really good things to come, at least for the rest of the season. I already can tell. And I like how they're taking their route, like, the just straight from the source material. Like, this isn't new territory for book readers. Like, this is all playing out pretty much as we've kind of read it to be, which again makes me wonder why Henry was saying, like, you know, I don't like the direction that the show is taking, because it seems like they're really matching up with the books. So at the end of the day, I'm enjoying The Witcher, and I'm going to keep fucking watching it, and I'm going to keep loving it until season 4 starts.
Well, you know, who knows with everything going on, if they're jumping spheres or whatever, maybe, you know, his Henry Cavill's Geralt will make a comeback in like season 5 or some shit.
Oh my God. Did they ever say how long they wanted the show to be? Didn't they say like a lot of seasons?
Yeah, they said a 7-season plan.
But oh my God.
To put it in perspective, Kyle, I think we're like 3/4 of the way through book 2, but obviously like...
No, nah, this is book like 4. Well, if you don't count the first book,
I don't ever count the first 2 short stories. So this is literally still the second book to me. But like, if based on how it's going, I feel like they would only be able to make content for like 5 seasons. But the fact that he just said 7 is like such a turnoff.
I mean, if Geralt said 7, it will end up being, and I'm sorry to step over you, we'd get more Hemsworth than we would get Henry Cavill at that point.
But I wonder if when they say 7 seasons, if they also include like the blood origin shit, you know? Like, that would make sense then, because then if we get 5, seasons of like the actual Witcher, a season of the blood origins, and then like a season of something else, like that would fill the 7. Like, I don't think they need to stretch this particular story of Ciri for 7 seasons when we're already almost done the books, pretty much.
Maybe they had less episodes per season in mind, and maybe they're hustling things along. I don't know, but Henry said he would do 7 seasons as Geralt.
Okay, well, if he said he would do 7 seasons, that's
as different. Long as they respected Andrzej Sapkowski's work. And apparently they did, and that's why he's bailing.
Yeah, but it feels like right now they're honoring it pretty well, which is this is a whole nother conversation anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see a world here where these last few episodes are great in the sense that it's just pure breakneck battle. I mean, obviously we talked last episode, everyone's converging onto Aretuza. At that point we kind of met individuals. Now it feels like we're getting armies, kingdoms. At least it feels like Nilfgaard is there's no way they don't know this is happening. The conclave feels like that's an impossible thing to ever convince me is a thing. So like, yeah, if we get like some like, you know, crazy rescue / battle war thing, I think that could be a good way to send off Geralt. It's just, I need to see it. Okay, yeah. It just feels like, I don't know, it just feels like we're in a weird place with only 3 episodes left.
Yeah, it's weird, but that's all we got, and can't complain because Henry is the man. I have loved these 5 episodes. It seems like you two have enjoyed it at least as well. I can't believe that season 3 is already like basically more than halfway over. I feel like I waited so long. Totally worth the payoff, though, at least so far. Absolutely adored everything that's happened. Any last thoughts for you two?
Nah, I feel like I got them all out.
It's only 3 weeks until new content.
3 weeks. There you go. Not forever.
27th. Yeah, July 27th is the last 3 episodes should come out then.
All right, so then we will be back like July 28th / 9th with some new content for you guys. Appreciate you guys sticking around, listening to all of this. We absolutely loved covering it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, Discord is the best place if you want to get in touch with us. You know, we love interacting with the fans or just, you know, talk some theories. But that's going to do it for us. If you like what you heard, please follow us at bingetowntv.com. Or you could follow us at all of our socials, Twitter, Instagram, other stuff. I did this last time.
We're old. We don't know socials. We're old.
You guys are familiar with the internet.
Thanks for listening. We love you guys.
Yeah. You know, you want to do that? Do that. We love you guys.
Last time. So
we'll see you in 3 weeks. How about that?
Fucking prick.
Love you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.